WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC for the last 15 minutes of the show, as we often do in this slot, a call-in. And this time we come back to the issue of the protests on college campuses and the schools' responses to them. And this time we'll invite calls from people who were involved 50 or 60 years ago in the last wave of campus protests, this big and widespread and divisive, from the Vietnam War era and the Civil Rights era. So who listening right now protested in the late 60s or early 70s? What memories about your protest or feelings about today's, the current situation, what feelings and memories is the current situation prompting in you? 212-433-WNYC, if you're a person in that category. 212-433-9692. Who listening right now protested in the late 60s or early 70s? What memories about your protest or feelings about today's is the current situation prompting in you? Maybe you even want to give advice to today's protesters based on your experience a long time ago. We had a high school senior caller last hour, a high school senior who's reconsidering the college that he got admitted to with his politics in mind. That caller, high schooler, cited the Kent State shootings, knew that much history. Four students shot dead by National Guard members in the spring of 1970 at Kent State in Ohio. Many schools shut down for the rest of the semester after that. So who listening right now protested in the late 60s or early 70s? And with Columbia in the spotlight, was anyone listening right now at the famous Columbia University protest of that era in 1968? Does anyone with that experience relate to this? Philadelphia Inquirer columnist Will Bunch wrote, I think yesterday, "It is amazing how the protesters are always right 50 years ago and always wrong today." Does anyone relate to that? Like almost all Americans say they respect the civil rights movement now and support the Civil Rights Act and Voting Rights Act that were its primary goals, but back then, very divisive, similar with the Vietnam War protests. So who relates to Will Bunch in the Philadelphia Inquirer writing, "It is amazing how the protesters are always right 50 years ago and always wrong today." But we do acknowledge if you were a Jewish student protesting back then, you probably didn't feel an overlay of anti-Semitism as part of the campus environment. And that's not to say that most of the protesters today are anti-Semitic, but that this feels related to many Jewish students who believe they're experiencing real anti-Semitism, at least among some people supporting the protesters' cause today. And maybe you support the cause. Horrific disproportional violence by Israel, as maybe you see it in response to October 7th. You might even support the cause, and you may even know that Jewish students are among the protesters, but still maybe you feel like there is a new anti-Semitism on campus, and that's really different from 50 years ago, 60 years ago. You tell us. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Who listening right now protested in the late 60s or early 70s? What memories about your protests or feelings about today's is the current situation prompting in you? 212-433-9692, and we'll take your calls right after this. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Now to your on-air college reunion with other people who protested in the 1960s and 1970s. Tom in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Tom.
Hello, Brian. So I am an alumnus of the 1968 Great Student Strike at Columbia. We were striking against both of the Vietnam, Columbia's ties to the Vietnam War and Columbia's racist policies in building a gym in the middle of the biggest part of the only park in South Harlem. I want to try to deal with this nuance in as nuanced a way as possible with the whole anti-Semitism question. Back then, we were accused of being not of being anti-Semitic. We were accused of being communist and hippies and anarchists and wanting to destroy the university, none of which were true, mostly. And now the students, the word anti-Semitism is being militated against the students in all kinds of ways. And I have to say, the media is walking right into it with their eyes closed. And you lead with anti-Semitism when you talk about the story.
Well, wait, we lead with different things on different days. But I would argue that what you're saying is undoubtedly true. There are those who are weaponizing anti-Semitism against the cause of the protesters. But the anti-Semitism that many people describe experiencing, so many college students and stories from the parents of college students, that both things can be true, and we have to make an effort to separate out the real anti-Semitism and the threat to students from that and the weaponizing of it by others with political agendas.
Yes. Yes, we must. But I think that it's important to understand that there is an exquisite sensitivity among Jewish students who have been told throughout their entire religious lives that Israel and Judaism are exactly the same thing. That the fact that somebody might burn an Israeli flag, as is talked about in the Times today, that feels to a lot of people as anti-Semitic, when in fact it's anti-Israel in terms of the policies that Israel has.
And Tom, I'm going to leave it there and get some other calls in our time. I really appreciate you checking in as a Columbia 68 demonstrator and raising those observations. Douglas and Dobbs Ferry, you're on WNYC. Hello, Douglas.
Hi, thanks, Brian. Boy, long-time listener, first-time caller. I love your show. I'm calling because I was at Yale in the early 70s when we were marching against the Vietnam War, but Bobby Seale was in New Haven, and, you know, you got to fact check me. But it was just, in my mind, thinking about what's going on in Gaza now helps me see the global nature of this conflict. In those days, in the early 70s, there was a lot going on with regard to the Vietnam War, and after that, investment in Angola, and we were anti-government. We were anarchists. A lot of us were anarchists and reacted that way. This seems like yet another governmental issue that is being conflated with human destiny. I guess I'm learning that same sort of global significance.
Douglas, thank you very much. Here's another Columbia 68 alum, Sherry in Manhattan. You're on WNYC. Hello, Sherry.
Hi. Yes, I was there in 68, and we were protesting against the university's complicity in the war in Vietnam and the research that was being done to enable pilots to be more accurate in bombing villages in Vietnam. And the protest today, which I find very heartening, is protesting Columbia's complicity in the genocide in Gaza. And both of them are about the ways in which the university is participating in atrocities that are colonial in nature. This whole notion of protecting Jewish students is incredibly hypocritical, because the students that they were arresting and are
suspending
include many Jewish students. There are tents that say Jews against genocide.
Right. So, but can't both things be true? Do you just dismiss the stories that other Jewish students are telling of the anti-Semitism on campus, and that also needs to be taken seriously?
Well, before I answer that, I have to agree with the previous callers who have been talking about the conflation of anti-Semitism with protests against Israel. And I also have to say that centering this issue of protecting Jewish students is a way of deflecting attention on the murder of Palestinians that is being perpetrated by Israel and is being protested by thousands and thousands of Jews.
Of course, but people would push back and say it is that what you articulated is a conspiracy theory, that raising concerns about real anti-Semitism is a way of pushing the cause of what's going on in Gaza to the side, when they would argue both things can be talked about.
It's not a conspiracy theory, and I'm pained to hear the people speaking about experiences of Jewish students. But the centering on this, you know, I think the biggest impetus for anti-Semitism, besides the Christian Zionists and the right, is what Israel is doing and saying it's doing in the name of Jews. I am a Jew.
Sherry, thank you very much. That went very quickly. Thank you to those of you who called, who were protesting in 1968 at Columbia and elsewhere in that era. Brian Lehrer on WNYC, The Brian Lehrer Show, is over for today. Back tomorrow. We will be preempted on Thursday for live coverage of the immunity hearing for Donald Trump at the Supreme Court. That's coming up Thursday.